Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
We have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn, today,
Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
If you eat something, say something. Ah, wow, a new slant on the police state mentality here in these United States of America. The land of liberty, trade it all for security, a false sense of security and gastronomical interdependence? What is this?
Wow, that was a mouthful.
Yeah, thank you. I've got Dr. Rashid Batar's brother coming on next hour, and I know this guy is like super smart, so I'm going to be practicing like some $100 words. Shahid Batar is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about the Obama administration's next 4 years. Wow, great stuff. But if you, in the meantime, if you eat something, say something. The Department of Homeland Insecurity sounds the alarm on the terrorist implication of what? Food trucks.
Ah, yeah, roach coaches.
I thought the food truck thing was really cool. All these people were trying to, you know, gather around. They go somewhere and sample all this stuff. But it turns out could be deadly. And it isn't because the food will give you gas. It might be the gas that the food gives you blowing up. Could that be?
Exactly.
Who wrote
exactly.
this thing? This is where does this come from? Tech Dirt. What is
Tech
this?
Dirt? They're actually a really cool blog that handles a lot of technology news and things of that nature. But they went into this particular topic and it's true. They are targeting the roach coaches now as possible terrorist breeding grounds that they could use in order to try and attack people.
How is this? I mean, is the Department of Homeland Security running a sting campaign like FBI to try and bait terrorists into making Baba Ghanoush explode? I mean, they haven't found anybody this way. When was the last food truck that you heard about even caught fire?
Never.
I mean, this is the same. The TSA just wants to go out into the community and basically grab your gonads. To make sure you're not, turn your head and cough. Okay, you can go. You can buy some food now.
Now, this is coming through the fusion centers. And, we've talked about the fusion centers before when they've come out with these manuals talking about how if you store more than a year's worth of food, you might be a terrorist.
Right.
If you're anti-abortion, you might be and all of these crazy things where basically it makes everybody a suspected terrorist. But, one of the things he points out here in this article is that the fusion centers always want to remind you that zero incidents only means we're due for one. See? And that's the way that they look at it.
Zero incidents mean that there are a bunch of doofuses that are targeting things that are not going to be used in this way. But, of course, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. If you're the Department of Homeland Security, everybody looks like a terrorist to you. And that is the absolute abandonment of liberty that we're talking about here, that preceded Obama, okay? Everybody jumping on. This was the thing yesterday, Super Don, when I opened the show, talking about the secession movement. There was a guy that was, saying it's all about racism. You don't like Obama because he's half black or whatever. And I grant the guy, there are racists. Okay, all right, we know it exists.
Of course there are.
People that believe in if they actually are the definition of it, they believe in the inherent genetic superiority of one race over another. Now, I'll hazard a guess that a lot of racists aren't really racist. They're just bigots and prejudiced. Sure. But
listen, this world is full of character defects. Yeah. I mean, it just is. You're never going to get rid of that, but you can't always play the race card or the homophobic card or the anti-this, anti-that. It just, everybody has their own agenda.
The point I was trying to bring out is that there is a boiling point that's happening. The melting pot becoming the boiling point here in America, where people from all backgrounds, walks of life, even all races begin to realize that, hey, I'm not as free as I thought I was. And at that point, they're reaching out for some pretty extreme, if I can call them that, responses, right? Do you jump right to secession? No, not necessarily, because we've got a lot of good things happening with the 10th Amendment and the 10th Amendment Center, for instance, just nullifying the federal laws, including Obamacare. So do you have to secede from the union? Now, if there's an argument for seceding from the union, I think the most powerful one is economic. Because simply by virtue of your birth, if you're given a social security number and made party to the debt, like most people unconsciously are, these babies are being born with over $200,000 Federal Reserve Note dollars worth of debt just for being born in America. Is that right? No, you're being born into involuntary indentured servitude or slavery, depending on your definition and how you're looking at it. So for me, that would be a strong reason to say secede. Now, the idea of secession is something that I suppose the colonists in the Americas to be utilized in the Declaration of Independence, this concept. We're seceding from the crown. We say, no, we declare our independence. You have usurped your authority. You're now, the taxation without representation, on and on and on. We want spiritual freedom. We want religious freedom. And at that point, it was serious enough that a percentage of the colonists said enough. Now, not everybody wanted in because it's like, no, how are you going to take on the world superpower at the time? But it turns out a tireless minority even can overcome a world superpower. And that's the, you know, the predictions that were made by Ron Paul all those years ago when he got involved in politics and said, listen, America is going to come marching home with her tail between her legs because we won't be able to pay for the soldiers. If you think that our job is to police the world and nation build around the world and do nothing to care for the people here, as well as what will we do? Fight the war on terror that never ends? The undeclared war on terror? I mean, that's the disgust with Obama that I have. He came in with all this bluster and promise of hope and change and yet abandoned it almost as quickly as he went in and doubled and tripled down on George W. Bush before him. And now we got to worry about what? Food trucks. For the Department of Homeland Security doesn't have enough to do. And so the movement for secession and such is going to go grow because this is getting beyond absurd.
Right. No, well, I agree. I agree. And this is actually a pretty good article pointing out the absurdity of the whole situation, because the author here points out something I think is pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. And that is that why would a terrorist go to the trouble of using a food truck when he could use just a U-Haul, which is these guys, you know, have used. There's all kinds of different vehicles you could do. And he points out something very funny. He says, unless what they want to do is sucker people in with weeks or months of delicious ethnic food before parking across the nearest heavily trafficked sidewalk and blowing everything up in an explosion of propane and proprietary blends of herbs and spices.
Isn't that right? The secret sauce is coming your way. At the velocity of the speed of sound. I don't think so. Listen, if we trade our security away, or our liberty, I should say, I always want to get that backwards. We trade our liberty away for security. We don't deserve the liberty. And I think that's where people are coming. And listen, again, I grant it, there are people that are bigots and what do you call them, homophobes and racists. But again, most people are not really racist. They're prejudicial and bigoted. Because they don't have this idea even about genetic superiority. They just don't like you because you have a different color or you have a different religion. That's different. But we throw about this term racism indiscriminately, and then it loses its meaning. And that's on the people who are all claiming racism all the time. It's like the boy who cried wolf. I had to teach my kids that recently. My 7-year-old, she was asking about, what is the boy who cried wolf? So we told her. But the boy who cried racism, it's the same thing. And, of course, the secessionist movement will grow if the federal government doesn't do its job basically abiding by the Constitution. And inevitably, and by the way, Ron Paul, thank you, Ron Paul, that's trending on Twitter still. He had his farewell address to Congress yesterday, and we've got the full text if you want to read it up at robertscottbell.com. A true statesman. And, of course, he's predicted this. He says, listen, if they don't get their economic house in order, fiscal house in order, it doesn't matter. The states are going to just leave. And there won't be tanks that they can send in to keep them there. Because even Lincoln needed a lot of gold to go after the states that seceded. And the Federal Reserve's going to crumble as well. But, listen, we got lots of good stuff to do on the show today. Liam Sheff's going to come up. We'll go beyond food trucks. He got slammed around by a Sally Fallon supporter. So we got to talk about that with Liam. Also, Dr. Rashid Batar's brother, Shahid, will join us next hour to talk about the next 4 years of Obama. So lots more healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. Ohira, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. Ohira's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
My name is Stephen Huer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He has become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he has made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
The headline reads, Liam Sheff attacked by Rastafarian. No, that's not the headline. The headline reads, Liam, who would attack Liam? Liam's a lovable vegetarian. Are you kidding me? But meatheads went after him. Is that what I understand, Liam? Meatheads went after you?
Hey, Robert.
Welcome, my friend. I want to get in there and defend you, but I know how scrappy you are, and I think you'll come out of it all right. But still, I find it amusing that certain people that have, joined a high-protein amino acid cult of some kind that believe the only thing you should eat is animal protein have taken offense to you being a vegetarian. Is that true?
Well, not me personally, but anybody.
Oh, anybody. I thought it was just, oh, good. It's not just about Liam. All right.
I got in their way. I was posting some stuff on the FBI social network. So I was on one of my friend's pages, and she had been posting all this vegan stuff. And I don't really consider myself a vegan, I suppose in practice at this point, but I'm macrobiotic by study in nature, which means that you eat seasonally, you eat local, you cook for the seasons, you eat cooked and raw food, and food is energy, and food is medicine. I guess I don't like eating large animals, and I recommend and try to advocate that people think about eating lower on the food chain for their health, for environmental reasons, and for total toxic accumulation. I really don't like eating cows, though. I don't know, they're really big animals. They gestate their young for 10 months. They breastfeed for, I don't know what it is, a year. Mm-hmm. And it's just not in me to chop them into pieces just to eat them. I did it enough as a kid. You know, I ate a lot of that stuff.
Well, there is a, let's just say this. When I was learning about my healing process that I was about to embark upon, my mentor in homeopathic medicine was talking about the balance, what they call the nitrogen balance, and talk about the needs of the human species to replenish that which is dissipated or lost through normal metabolism activity, etc. And that was, like, you know, how much protein do you genuinely need to really survive, to so you're not going into excess in anything. And it was actually a very small quantity. It was like 15 grams or something, really, if you're talking about base level. Now, obviously, if you're out there working the fields, you're doing things, their activity levels vary. And also, we recognize metabolism varies, and there are different body types. These are things that I would not discard as realities. But I think what you're hinting at is that let's reassess what our genuine needs are, and then just let's talk about it like you do. Always go back to legitimate science, not scientism.
Yeah.
Well, I ended up posting that. I agree with that. Kids need more protein than adults, but adults in America think they need as much protein as though they're going to grow to be 20 feet tall by the time they die. We're not growing anymore except outward, which you see all the time, people growing outward and outward and outward. but yeah, kids need a lot more protein because they're developing and growing. They're building their bodies. And they can get that protein from a variety of places. Now, there was a guy, a dentist called Weston A. Price, and he went around the world and he realized that healthy people always ate local food and they always ate seasonally and they ate beans and grains and legumes. And if they drank milk, it was raw and local and not in giant excessive quantities. And if they ate meat, it was local from animals that they could afford to slaughter, which generally are smaller animals. And if they're larger animals, they had to keep that flesh for a long time. So you know, no surprise, right? People are omnivores. In other words, we'll eat anything we can find to survive. So we're omnivores. And then everybody's looking for the optimal diet. I'm convinced that the optimal diet is the one that's optimal for you at a particular moment.
Hallelujah. Can I say hallelujah? You just got me at a religious moment right there when you said that. I just couldn't help myself.
Right.
this is the thing about listening to your body. I mean, even you, we've discussed this as well about we're not religious fanatics about all of these diets, except for, I will be saying I am maybe on the cleanliness aspect. I really, as you know, I feel very important to clean up as much as humanly possible because there's so much on this planet that we can't. We don't have control over. So take control over that which we genuinely do as far as making choices that are cleaner. And I agree, also more local.
Right. And by cleaner, you mean to have a rabbi with you at all times to bless?
No, I mean, you know, soap and water, wash, whatever. Let's say if they rewrote the kashrut laws, the kosher laws today, I'm certain they would say no GMOs, no synthetic toxic pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, additives, preservatives, flavorings, colorings. Yeah, that's what I mean by cleanliness.
Yeah, pesticides. So you're talking about organic.
Yeah, and if you get a rabbi to, you know, pray on it, that's fine. That's okay.
L'chaim, have a good toinip.
Good. So, hey, a little good Hebrew coming through. A little Yiddish too, maybe.
Right. So I posted a couple of images from factory farms because factory farming is one of the, you know, if it doesn't elicit some compassion from you, then there's something wrong with you. To see animals, living animals, bleating and crying and screaming as they do with their animal sounds and screaming.
Yeah.
The chainsaws go through them as chicks in the factory farms where eggs are produced. If they're male, when they're born, they're ground up in machines. They're ground like in a blender, you know, in a gear, because the chicken industry has very little use for male birds. So they grind up small animals. They just, you know, and so they're blood, feather, and bone. And you know, people were writing me and saying, oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. So people actually said, oh, that's patently ridiculous. Oh, come on, Liam. And I looked it up. I sent them a link that was in no way controversial in the sense that it was affirmed data from the producers themselves saying, yes, this is what we do. And they said, oh, well, okay, I guess so.
Male chicocide. I mean, it is horrific. I remember my first introduction is like many. Was from Robbins, the Diet for a New America, when he revealed what was going on in the factory farming industry.
Right, and he did great work. John Robbins was the scion, the son of the Baskin-Robbins fortune, who turned his back on it and said, I really don't want to be part of this thing. You're force-feeding animals recycled newspaper and waste and chemically treated garbage. You're injecting them with hormones, pesticides, they're riddled with cancer. You're taking stuff out of their bodies and putting it into children or in adults, calling it milk. It's not, you know, it's just something, it's a nightmare at that point. So I think that the American vegan movement is a response in many ways to the American factory farming movement.
Mm-hmm.
I think that some people became vegans and maybe had no idea how to be healthy. The thing that saved my bacon.
Well said.
I got very quickly after I had become a vegetarian, I realized I really didn't know how to cook correctly, and I said so. I mean, I knew how to cook a little bit. I'd cooked when I was a kid, and I was reasonably comfortable in a kitchen, but I didn't really know, I didn't feel that I knew what food was. not really. The Western system of saying it's calories and stuff didn't really make any sense to me. Like, okay, but what is it? What does it do?
And Liam, it's still a dominant belief system in America. Certainly the scientific, medical, and nutritional establishment, if you can call them that, still buy into the myth that all calories are all calories. There's no distinction with what is in it, the quality, again, the qualitative issues we talk about. And I think it's so far from scientific reality, yet it's still the dominant official story.
Yeah. Don't eat this because it has too many calories. I look at these little bags of, like, one of those snack wells and all this crap they sell, mm-hmm. you know, the workforce. It's, 100 calories per bag. I think, why would you be proud of that? It should be 500 calories, and, like, you should have some Brazil nuts and have nutrient-dense food.
Mm-hmm.
You paying for crap that doesn't even give you any energy?
Yeah, why not just consume powdered aspartame with no calories? I mean, but come on, no calories.
Yes, rat poison. Enjoy mm-hmm. yours. Please don't. So I posted these things, and then some people jumped in and got kind of pissy with me and were telling me how the meat, the diet that's based on all meat is really the healthy diet and mm-hmm. vegetables. I swear this actually came up in the conversation, that vegetables were actually bad for you or not good for you because they contain cellulose. Now, I'll get into some of these details, but the argument came from the point of view, and this is the article that's up on the website, should be linked, that this is the attack of the Sally Fallon Brigade. And Sally Fallon is the head of the Weston Price Organization, and you know, Weston Price was that dentist who went around the world and saw that people eat local food and were generally healthier when they did.
Yeah, he didn't say everybody ate a cow a day. I don't think that's what he observed.
He never observed that and said it. Another thing he never said at all was that soy was bad. I don't know that he ever said one word about soy. But the Sally Fallon Brigade, and I have a feeling for why this has happened, has said that the more milk you can drink, a quart or more of raw milk a day, that as much meat as you can possibly put in yourself, including fried bacon, that is, which, you know, full of nitrogen,
mm-hmm.
that as much butter and cream as you can put into yourself if you have diseases like cancer or other things is exactly what you should do. This is their point of view. I have a friend, believe it or not, I have a friend.
Yeah, you got lots of friends.
Yeah. But I have a friend who said that she had been on a primal diet, and that she and her friend who were on it used to go out in the yard and pick weeds, like edible weeds, because they just couldn't believe they were suffering for not having any greens. She said, why aren't, you know, I can't believe we're eating so few vegetables. And she related the story to me, how she was on the thing, she lost a little weight, and then over time, her ankles got thicker, and the weight just seemed to go up and up and up her body. And they said, yes, that's because meat is a weight gain food.
You want cankles?
I think she's losing, you know, lost the weight now, but she of course went to a more vegetarian diet at this point because you.
Yeah, you know, what I noticed with my kids, and of course one's a preteen about to be a teen, and you know, my daughter, she's what, about 7 going on 8, 18 maybe, I don't know, but they actually eat more protein than their dad. I watched this at the dinner table and I'm like, no, I've had enough because, as I said, I've learned enough to listen to my body. This is how much I need. This feels right. This is the balance that gives me the energy, and I don't go overboard and I feel rotten if I do. And I know that, but it's been a hard-won knowledge, too, because much of my life here in the West has been spent ignorant of food, much less its impact on the body, because everything made me feel rotten growing up. So I disconnected from it, except that I would take a drug to remove the symptom. That was how I was raised and trained. Don't hate me because I'm drawn chemically or pharmaceutically, but undid it, and of course, and regrew organically. So I think to your point, as I observe now raising my own family about the needs of these kids, just like you said, yeah, the kids are just massively reproducing and growing on a daily basis. If I'm away from them for a few days, I notice on a trip, I come back, how much they've grown. So it's a different need as opposed to that of an adult human, and you just got to find out what that is.
Right. Well, when we come back, I'll explain exactly what happened, what the fight was, and I'll put forward my hypothesis about why this particular branch of Sally Fallonism, not Weston Priceism, but this mm-hmm. Sally thing has become very, very popular.
All right. With the shield of vegetables, Liam will continue on the Robert Scott Bell Show after the break and talk about where we can balance this discussion out in terms of what you need, what is right for you as far as dietarily speaking and beyond. Okay? You with me, Liam?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be right back on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hello.
Hello!
Hello, hello, hello.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're amazing. You are something else.
Robert Scott Bell.
She has both style and substance.
Robert Scott Bell.
How much power do talk radio hosts really have?
This is transformational, and it's awesome.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
I don't want to go all Harry Potter on you guys, but the defense against the dark meat eaters, dark arts, what is it? What do we call it? The dark meat, the chicken? I mean, we're getting into Thanksgiving. Do you like white meat or dark meat? Or can you have a vegan chicken or a vegan turkey? I mean, what way can you go when you're a Liam chef and you've learned a lot about your own body and you're expressing it and people come after you and say, hey, you're attacking me because I'm eating meat. No, he's not. I don't think you are you? Did you?
No, I can only say that I think we as Americans have gotten used to something that no other culture on earth had ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Came out of England. The fact of making so many cows and having them breed and then cutting them into pieces was something that was reserved for aristocracy. And then when England decided that it was coming up during the Industrial Revolution, they decided to farm out Ireland and really destroy it, destroy a lot of the land so that the Irish could only grow potatoes, with famously horrible results. you know, England then had to look overseas at the colonies as a place to continue to farm. Now, some cows can graze the land, and it's good for the land, and they eat the grasses and weeds, and they deposit
fertilizer. Yeah.
But there is no way to breed the millions of cows that we have now on the land and have it be sustainable in any fashion. You rip up the topsoil, you destroy it. They destroy it in the large groups with hooves. But, you know, you can have some cows in the land, and it's good for the land. But if you have too many, it's bad. They're like locusts.
Well, an imbalance or an inefficient use of the resources as well. And to your historical point, Liam, this is one of the things. If you look at the old aristocracy, the paintings, for instance, you'll always see, like, there's one guy in his ruffled feather shirt, like he was on Jerry Seinfeld when he had the puffy shirt. But they used to wear that, evidently. And he's got his foot up on his table or his desk. And you're thinking, why did they paint a guy like that? Well, it was pheasant hunting season. It was the time where the aristocracy had lots of meat. And, of course, what happened? They were eating far too much of these complex animal proteins for their body to digest, break down, and then excrete. For instance, the uric acid, that waste product. Unless your liver is really strong, you could end up with gout or gout-like arthritic inflammation. Now, you could also end up with vascular inflammation as well if you don't understand these metabolic functions or dysfunctions that may be going on. So to your point as well, like I said, the average peasant, I mean, to have meat was a rare delicacy and a rare treat they considered, but for the most part, they were not to the extent that we have the ability to do this today.
No, the human population has been a population that survived on roots and tubers, rye, barley. You know, the Roman soldiers used to get their food was rye. It's such a hardy, cold weather grain that it provided them with great energy. It's got a lot of protein, too. But carbohydrates is what we eat. Human beings have to make energy. We make energy out of something called C6H12O6, or a simple sugar molecule that we've digested. Our body has taken apart from complex carbohydrates. Now, there's a movement in this, Sally, because Weston Price didn't advocate this. There's a movement that sort of grows out of the Sally Fallon Brigade called the Primal Diet Movement, which imagines, which is an amusing thought, that if you want to, you can change all of human historical metabolism and you know, internal gastric processes just because you want to. That you can turn yourself into somebody who can healthily digest nothing but fat and protein to get energy. Well, you can't. Sorry. What you end up with is diarrhea, high nitrogen levels in the body, and you form ketone bodies if you try to get all of your energy from fat. Now, fat is good for you. Essential fatty acids are, you know, essential. That's why they're called that. And you die slowly without them. But you have to have carbohydrates. Americans, unfortunately, are accustomed to eating carbohydrates as, you know, burnt bread or the, you know, the burnt bread at the bottom of a pizza or God knows what, Pop-Tarts, white bread. Or white pasta.
Pop-Tarts, guilty, guilty. I grew up with Pop-Tarts, Liam. I mean, just telling you how deprived I was as far as food, proper food, growing up. And it's a shocking thing to come back to this reality that, you know, food is something that is supposed to come out of a box, I guess is what I'm saying here. And remember when I interviewed Steve Cooksey, the diabetes warrior. Now, he's a great guy, a real liberty lover. He went on and he found a way in his own life by going primal to reverse a lot of diseases of the processed food and refined carbohydrates that he had eaten probably for much of his life. And I posed the question to him. I said, how you doing? I asked specific metabolic questions because I know exactly what we're talking about here. And he had none of those symptoms. And I just said, hey, just pay attention, because if that primal diet doesn't work for you after a while, these are the reasons why. This is the thing I want you to look at. Because there are a lot of people that if they just switch from a refined, processed, standard American diet and went primal, they would see improvement, because the primal focal point is going more local. It's certainly getting processed foods out of the way. But long term, I think there's going to be questions metabolically in these people. I agree. I've seen it.
Well, we'll have a return of gout and vascular inflammation, which will be very strange, and people will wonder why it's happening. It's happening because you need complex carbohydrates. Potatoes are not evil. Deep fried, genetically modified potatoes are. But or maybe even deep fried non-genetically, but deep frying alters fats and is very difficult to digest. It's hard on the liver, gallbladder, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, boiled potatoes, you know, water sauteed potato, tubers, turnips, all these things are essential. That's why the body, that's why we have in our mouths enzymes that digest what first? Carbohydrates, amylase, pyritin. We digest carbohydrates before we digest anything. Now, the primal movement, and I was sort of attacked by this clown on Facebook, calls himself a doctor, and he writes such illuminating bits on his posts that, yes, I'm anti-vegetarian. The sickest people in my office are vegetarian. All right, great. I'm glad to know you've done a wide survey. So he was spamming my FBI social network page. And I said, if you don't stop it, you're not answering any of my questions, we're going to block you. He kept doing it, so I blocked him. Then he wrote me personally on my webpage and called me a couple names. So I looked him up, and he signed it doctor. He called me a bunch of insulting names, then he signed it doctor, which I found amusing because I'm used to doctors, frankly, in debate, being the thinnest skinned, most volatile people, you know?
Yes.
So, in fact, I looked him up, and it says that he's a doctor of chiropractic or chiropractic in the Philippines. Now, I don't know why a guy from America would run to the Philippines to work, and I'm not going to cast any aspersions. But,
hey, no speculation out there. I hear you thinking.
All right. That's what... so, you know, I'm sure he's... I wouldn't want him to be my chiropractor because he's going to stink. He's going to be eating nothing but meat. He's going to be producing... He's going to have ketosis. He's going to have that rotting breath. But he wrote that Okinawans have one of the longest-lived populations. And it's because, he says, they eat more pork than anybody else. So I looked it up. And Okinawans are one of the longer-lived populations. Who eat what? Rice? Complex carbohydrates? What's their staple food? Sweet potatoes. Oh, I believe that's a complex carbohydrate. What else do they eat? They do eat a lot of pork. What part of the pork? Every part of the pig. Every part. The stomach, the ears, the face. Stuff that you could not convince Americans to eat, they eat. They eat the kidneys. And I don't really think it's healthy to eat the excretory organ, another mammal, but if you're going to eat the animal and you just eat the lean meat, you will be depriving yourself of a lot of nutrients, and you'll be having those problems.
That's a critical point, Liam, when you talk about meat consumption around the world. If you just watch Bizarre Foods on one of the like Travel Discovery Channel, whatever it is, and you find that cultures that do eat meat, they don't waste any part of the animal, and it grosses the Westerners out. Here in America in particular. Why? Because if you're, let's say, transforming the plant material through an animal to the human, and you just go for the lean muscle, that's not necessarily going to provide you everything you would be getting if you just went, for instance, to the plant material, right? That's the whole transition. That's why you can survive on meat, because it is taking those things, and they do exist, but not just one part. And that's what you've just said is so very important. I think that would go to the point of a Weston Price and his observations as well, that we are kind of, let's not look at that, because that's kind of untoward. We don't like the look of that one.
Exactly. So if you're going to eat meat, you know, when I was in Hong Kong, I had the time of my life in 2007. I loved it. And, you know, I'm vegetarian, but I just... delighted and thrilled at the honesty of it all. I'd walk through the markets, there'd be fish heads, there'd be frogs in bags, there'd be guts hanging all over the place from pigs. Well, I guess a little shocking, but it didn't bother me. I got to be honest, it didn't bother me the way that the sanitized FDNC number 5 red dyed flesh of anemic factory farmed brutalized animals in the A&P or Acme or whatever the supermarket, you know, whatever they're called, Hannaford. When you go to the meat aisle in an American grocery store, I feel sick. But I could walk around the Chinese markets and just sort of my vegetarian friends will maybe not forgive me, but there is some delight in, and even of a little horror, there's something about the natural form, and you see the body sort of unfolding, go, wow, they're really going to eat all of it. And you sort of go, okay, I get it. They're not lying to themselves. They're eating another thing. They're not hiding it. They're not disguising it. And, they're getting health benefits from it. And look, I wouldn't want to eat that because I don't want to eat another animal's intestines. So I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But they're having a different experience of eating meat. Now, what else do the Okinawans eat? Well, you know, the new Sally Fallon Brigade should run in terror. They eat, according to the BBC, more tofu and more soy than any population on Earth. Well,
cue the scary music.
The Sally Fallon Brigade has really made a lot of its bread and butter, if they eat any bread, out of, and they do, you know.
Hey, Liam, when we've talked to our good friend Charles down there in Fort Lauderdale with his wonderful place that people go eat and enjoy, and again, go local if they can, he also, you know, being a guy that's read up on Weston Price, acknowledges that the Sally Fallon repulsion of all soy forever and ever and ever is not really substantiated.
No, Charles is a good man, and I was talking with him, and he's saying, oh, you should read this book, The Soy, you know, The Truth About Soy, and I looked through it, and I couldn't really find anything that was sort of one study that you know, okay, it has beans have phytic acid. How do you get rid of it? You soak them or cook them. You sprout them or cook them. Oh, really? Well, who goes through the field and eats uncooked beans, or who goes and chews on uncooked rice? Of course you soak it or cook it. It's not complicated. So the whole primal terror, there's actually a new idea. You can find it on the web, that carbohydrates or grains are poisonous. I go, are you joking? All of human civilization is built on, I mean, the ancient grain silos that became, you know, the religious temples worshipped the god of corn, the god of maize, the god of rice, the gods of wheat. Give me a break.
Well, remember the monoculture and the genetically modifying these things. Also, the reliance on pesticides has really altered these grains to the point where people are indeed reacting poorly to them. But I've said this for many years. You get your gut in order and you get the food quality issue in order, and you'll find you will interact completely differently with the food that you've been told you can't eat. So stand by. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to wrap up this hour with Liam Sheff talking about the attack of the Sally Fallon Brigade, or whatever you want to call them. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. That would be Dr. Ahira's Probiotics 12. Dr. Ahira, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation skills with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. Ahira's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research, 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, wanting to speak to you from my heart. For those of you that listen to my show, you know I'm candid with my words. I have never been so encouraged to endorse a product as I am now. The Natural Action Water Device from Structured Water Technologies. This little device structures your water and neutralizes chemicals so your water is pure natural. No filters, no gimmicks, and no electricity. Just simple, BioPhoton Energy. There's a lifetime warranty and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Thinking about water should be serious. Thinking about drinking water is deadly serious. There's too much information to put in this 60-second commercial, so log on to StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. You can also click on the link at my website, RonnieMcMullenShow.com. Do the research and find out why this little water unit is changing the world. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
All the links are up at robertscottbell.com, as they always are, and we love Liam, man. He is animating the heck out of so many things, and doing the comics we may get a mention of, but there's also a section on the show notes here that you can link to at robertscottbell.com, as well as theliamchef.com and officialstories.com. Get your copy. I will be at Dr. Pitar's host in Advanced Medicine Seminar, Houston, Friday and Saturday. I'll be there Saturday. I will have some copies of Liam's book for those that haven't ordered it. You are in trouble. No, you won't be. You'll get it there. And, of course, Liam is back. We're going to wrap up this hour. And, Liam, the whole differentiation between Weston Price, who's really a brilliant scientist and observer, and the whole Sally Fallon Brigade or cult, the difference. What would you say? What is it that they find so appealing about this?
I'll be honest. I feel that there's a recalcitrant strain in this thinking, that in the Sally Fallon group, that really is just saying, we know that there's something wrong with the standard American diet, but we don't really want to change that much. I just have a feeling that there are people who think, we don't want to give up eating in excess. We want to continue to eat in excess. It's our birthright as Americans to eat in excess. Well, eating as much meat, milk, cheese, dairy, and beef, pork, and whatever else, what other animal, other large hoofed animal you're cutting into pieces, eating as much of that as your heart or your head desires or whatever you think is driving you, is in the end not going to be really good for you. We as Americans have a very different concept of moderation because we have never had to be moderate. And what we call normal is, to the rest of the world, excessive. So I think that the Sally Fallon group comes along and has wrapped, and there's a kind of evangelist quality to it. There's kind of a Protestant or Lutheran fundamentalism about it. It's, you know, it does walk hand in hand for a lot of people with some aspects of Christian fundamentalism, and you can find the overlap. Not for everyone, but it's there. And it's this feeling that, God made the cow, and God made this, and so we're going to eat as much of it as we can, and don't ask any questions. Now, who becomes the enemy in that equation? The irony is that the Sally Fallon Brigade spends far less energy, in fact, maybe no energy that I can see, criticizing the factory farmed industry. They spend almost all of their negative energy piling vitriol on top of vegetarians. So
they're not. They shouldn't be the enemy, though. Why?
Because I think vegetarians remind the Sally Fallon Brigade that what they're doing is still excessive, even though Sally Fallon people learn to soak their legumes and eat locally. There's still an excess in, you can't have all of this large animal protein at every single meal without some long-term problems and without doing environmental damage. You can have some, of course you can. The world can support meat eaters and vegetarians alike, but the American style of, you know, 4, 8, 16 ounces of meat during, you know, each day is not, per person, is not in any way sustainable. The land does not sustain it unless you're eating like Farley Moat when he, what was that? Never Cry. I can't remember the wolf story where he went to Alaska. He noticed that wolves, I believe, he thought they would only eat large animals, but a lot of them subsist eating very small animals, mice. He thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to eat the whole mouse, like the whole mouse, you know, except the bones, to get all the fat that he needed. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is we in the West think that it's our right to eat as much large animal protein as we can get, but it's actually not. And I think that the Sally Fallons show the weakness of their hand by targeting vegetarians instead of targeting the corporate beef industry. They actually go out of their way to demonize soy.
Mm.
It's only dangerous in a genetically modified form. Or I should say a chemically extruded form. It too is too high. It's actually too high in amino acids and will cause the same similar problems with the nitrogen excess without some of the animal hormones being present. So you know, the problem with soy isn't that it's never been eaten. It's a 3,000 or 4,000. It's one of the first cultivated foods on Earth, along with lentils, along with amaranth, and you know it's just one of those ancient foods. So give me a break. You know, give me a break. If Sally Fallon Brigade's argument is that Okinawa is healthy because they eat a lot of pork, they also eat more soy than any bloody group on Earth. So give me a break. And if the Sally Fallons of the world are really interested in health, then they'll stop attacking vegetarians whose principal contribution to the world is that they don't want to cut as many animals into pieces and they're against factory farming and they, you know.
Right. Well, I know. Why can't we all get along? That's that big question. I mean, the where we do get along, of course, with the non, let's say, cultists in this realm are, yeah, the factory farming issue, going more local, being more, let's say, responsible and aware to the local, let's say, ecology and also even economy and how that plays together. But this is something, I mean, perhaps we're asking too much. Now, if you're going to go out and be a Maasai warrior in Africa and you're drinking a lot of milk, which is a lot of the claims that are done, there's a reason for that and what they're doing and how they're big and that kind of thing. But it's, again, awareness, using your food as medicine, medicinally, making choices consciously rather than unconsciously or as a knee-jerk reaction. Don't attack the vegetarians. Really? Come on. We could spend your energy a lot better doing a lot of other good things where we would be aligned.
Yes, vegetarians cause no problem to the planet, none at all. The problem is caused by factory farming. It's caused by the manure lagoons produced by factory farms. It's not produced by small local farms in general, and I mean small.
Because even some of the, let's say, growing vegetable farmers that are million-acre farms, they're using synthetic toxic poisons, and they're using synthetic fertilizers. These things are running off into the water, and they're creating all kinds of algae blooms and other discord within the environment. So your point is well taken from me, Liam, that it's going local. It's getting small. We talk about it economically. We've talked about it politically. And yet when I brought up yesterday about the whole secession movement, there's still people going, oh, it's just a bunch of racists. And it's like, well, no, we got next hour. In fact, we're going to talk about with Shahid Bhattar and his Dr. Rashid Bhattar's brother, Shahid. And it's going to be amazing because he's taken on the Obama administration saying, listen, you guys are worse than Bush. And he was no fan of Bush, nor were we. But the point is, get out of the Hegelian dialectic, left, right, white, black, vegetarian meat eater. So you're just kind of thrown into this spin and tizzy that everybody's against you. Not everything should be about war, even though we've got a bad habit as humans on this planet.
Right. Well said. Well said. Well wrapped up. I wish I could come to Houston with you guys, but I think that you're having one in the summer in June, and I'll see if Dr. Rashid Bhattar will have me
I think he would love to have you, as he said. You know, he loves the book and he loves what you're doing, as we all do, Liam. And appreciate all your work in getting out there. And if there are any Sally Fallon, let's say, cultists that really want to send some mail, write it, Liam, you can just go to robertscottbell.com. You can let us have it if you want. That's okay. But remember, the spirit of, I think there's spirit of goodwill here in trying to wake people up to go, hey, we got a lot of common ground. That's where we want to talk. That's where we want to be. So, Liam, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for letting me vent my spleen. So please don't eat it.
Please, not with a bottle of Chianti either. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, well, we're going to get into some political healing. Freedom is on the line, and whether you're from the left or the right, you're going to appreciate Shahid Bhattar's perspective on here. He's got a big piece in the Huffington Post I want you to read. It's linked up in the show notes. And in the meantime, remember, as we take this break, go out, get official stories. Get it online, or if you're going to see me in Houston, I'll bring a few copies with me if you'd like it there. Lots of healing to go on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thank you to Liam, and the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey, this is Robert Scott Bell. Wondering if you've gotten your structured water technology portable unit yet. There's beauty and simplicity, and this machine is so simple. It's so passive. You don't have to plug it in and you can travel with it. Just pour your water or any liquid in it. Immediately, it changes the structure Why is this important? Because so much of the structure, due to toxic pollutants, discordant energies, disrupts our ability to think clearly, to act clearly. And you know what we're all about here, bringing the power to heal back to you. And this little unit does that. And it's not just for drinking water. You can utilize it for watering your plants. You can utilize it when you take a bath or a shower. You can put it on the whole house if you want to get that unit. And right now, Ronnie McMullen, our good friend, is offering a free month supply of Life Change Tea with every purchase. 90-day money-back guarantee, lifetime warranty. You can't go wrong. Tell them RSB sent you. Go to structuredwatertechnologies.com, 435-773-7473. Be like RSB. Structure your water today.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
We have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
The average citizen, if they did what the TSA agents do, would be arrested.
Would you submit to one of these pat-downs?
Not if I could avoid it. No, I mean, who would?
If you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
This hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, Shahid Batar, and he is the brother of Dr. Rashid Batar. We're going to get him on shortly, and he's from the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and he wrote a great piece on the HuffPo and also at his blog. We've got him linked up in the show notes about the next 4 years of Obama. He comes from the left side of the political equation, but he's a liberty lover, and he gets it. He's not blinded by partisanship, and we love him for that. And we're going to have a great time together talking about a lot of things you can do coming up. Anyway, that's for now. But for you, for now, it's for you, right? That's why we do this show.
That's
and
right.
Sheila has written. Many people are I'm feverishly trying to keep up with all of the letters and cards and emails and phone calls. Oh, my gosh. If I'm feverish, I will take some homeopathic phosphorus. But Sheila has written something here, and I wanted to get to it this hour. This is the only time I think I'll have a chance to do so. Sheila, there was an old song, Hand Me Down Another Bottle of Tequila, Sheila. Was that a song, or was that just something from my memory? A rhyme?
I don't know, but let me see if I can find out.
I think I was a memory from like elementary school. I get one of my friends who was a kind of radical guy, he would sing this. Like, I don't know if he made it up or not.
No, I don't think he did. Apparently, it looks like something Mac Davis sang.
Mac Davis! Oh! Mac, you remember him? He had a lot of funny country songs.
I think other people covered it. I don't know who the original was. But
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're so perfect in every way. That's Mac Davis. So he did some funny songs.
He did.
So hand me down another bottle of tequila, Sheila. Now, I don't know if Sheila drinks tequila. We don't drink tequila here that I know of. But she writes, would love your thoughts. My dad is a healthy and fit 65-year-old. Who worked 40 years in the shop at GM, I assume General Motors. He's been having trouble breathing for several years now and has been on inhalers that don't work. He only finds relief from the emergency inhaler. He also has high blood pressure from that doctor says is in his stroke range. So pretty high blood pressure. In the last year, the doctor quadrupled my dad's meds and then scaled back when he realized the amount. This is great. I'm glad her dad survived that.
Yeah.
Now, Sheila goes on. The doctor swears that my dad's problems are all caused by sleep apnea. Sleep apnea? Hmm. This is just like the dunderheaded doctors to blame it on the fact that you can't sleep. Now, granted, there are problems with not sleeping, but no, this is not sleep apnea, in my humble homeopathic opinion. In fact, she writes, my dad has seen two pulmonary specialists. That's lung specialists for those of you in Washington, D.C. Pulmonary specialists as well as his GP, and all three have said that his breathing difficulty is due to sleep apnea. So they're all piling on this thing. Oh, well, you're not getting enough sleep. You got apnea. That's why you're not breathing. In the daytime? What is that? Oh, come on. He feels like he can take a deep breath, but he just doesn't get enough air. His pulse oxygen is 94%. And his x-rays are clear. If I were to be honest, this is a Sheila writing, he needs to lose about 40 pounds and he would feel a lot better. But in the meantime, he just can't get enough air, oxygen, she said, and can't seem to get his blood pressure down. I really appreciate your thoughts. Many thanks for all that you do. Sheila, thank you for writing on this. And you know, it seems like these things should be so difficult to figure out, but this is so obvious. If the guy's worked in GM at the shop, he's been exposed to metals and metals and metals and more heavy metals. It doesn't even have to be mercury. It could be lead, aluminum, cadmium, which is there in the batteries, arsenic. There's so many things. And how many times have we talked to Dr. Rashid Batar about this issue? That when we're dealing with blood pressure, we're dealing with kidney. When we're dealing with kidney, we're dealing with liver. When we're dealing with liver, we're dealing with heavy metals. And your dad, Sheila, no doubt, these doctors probably haven't even considered chelating this man, your dad. Yeah, I would say, I don't know if you're in Michigan or where you are, but if you can get down to see Dr. Batar or find a doctor that's like an AAEM, an American Advancement for Environmental Medicine. That's right. American Academy of Environmental Medicine, AAEM doc, or American College for Advancement in Medicine, an ACAM doc, or an AMSPA doc with Dr. Batar. This is what you want to do. Get a doc that can really specialize in aggressive chelation and start pulling the metals out of him. Now, from a non-aggressive standpoint, nutritional standpoint, we would increase selenium like we always do here. Selenium helps to bind out the bad guys, as well as I would recommend the One World Whey, because the whey protein will also increase stores of glutathione or production of glutathione, which will bind out the bad guys, the heavy metals. As far as liver and kidneys, I would do homeopathic liver kidney cleanse detox from King Bio, as well as there's blood pressure vascular remedies that can also help. Remember, hydration is an issue. Remember, on Monday, go back to listen to Monday, Advanced Nutritional Medicine Monday with Chris Barr. We opened the show talking about vascular issues. We talked if the heart is involved, the Hawthorne berry syrup. We also talked about the role of the GTF chromium and the role of silicon. Now, the silica and GTF chromium, you can go to Jonathan at choosetobehealthy.com. And he's at 866-424-1077, 866-424-1077. For the Stephen Hewer and the One World Way, it's at 888-988-3325, 888-988-3325. And as far as hydration, always big. Mineralization, remineralization needs to happen. But the silica is very critical here. Now, I'm not overemphasizing the metal detox, am I? No, I'm not. I can't. But I recognize the symptom here also is the oxygenation issue, the lung issue, the difficulty in transferring. Now, there are a lot of things that could be going on here. And if there's been lung damage due to vapor or exposure to certain things that he's been exposed to in 40 years with GM, I want to get him on Lobelia. The Lobelia tincture, you can go to any of the herbal stores. They should have Lobelia. It's not something you want him to chug or lug. As I said, there are herbs you can take too much of, just like there are bananas you can eat too much of and get sick. The point is doing it appropriately and taking a squirt, a dropper full of that Lobelia tincture from that little tincture bottle and putting it into some clean water. Preferably, in my humble opinion, I would say get the water that we are running through our structured water technology little funnel that we use. Because you're going to clean that water up. It's going to accept everything that you work with. It will work better. It will work more efficiently. But regardless, if you're going to put it in clean, clean water, please do. And then have them sip on that every day. The Lobelia will help heal the lung tissue. There are other things in oxygenation, and that means perhaps considering the nebulizing silver hydrosol. Because remember, I referenced silver's unique properties. Among them are the ability to carry oxygen in with the silver. Up to 10 times its atomic weight, the warmer it is. So you're going to carry a lot of additional oxygen into the lungs and heal the tissue while you're working in this direction. So that's another thing to consider. There are also other supplements available you can check out in the health food stores or read up on it, including geranium, the extract of plant. And this is often used for people wanting to work out. It seems to increase oxygenation of the body or tissues. I'm not saying to just dive in headlong into a vat of it. Be careful. Read about it with your dad. But I want you to at least have the information so you have. Even the things, prior I've said geranium, there are a lot of things that you're able to do here that are quite profound. And there are including the homeopathic medicines that I didn't mention. But if you go to the lung remedies from King Bio, in addition to the detox remedies, they will have the homeopathic remedies that I reference so often here for the lungs, as well as the liver. And that includes Bryonia alba, which is the liver polycrest. It also helps the lungs. The Antimonium tartaricum, the Spongia tosta, and the Drosera rotundifolia. I'll try to have them listed in the show notes today so you can get that for your dad. And I think we've helped a little bit today. As we said, we do all kinds of healing on all levels, including political, which we're going to do with Shahid Batar momentarily. But we got to throw out those healing protocols for people because, my goodness, we've got a lost continent of people that don't know where to go, and we're trying to keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah, and this is one of those segments where you just that was just a wealth of information. So if you missed it, if you're listening to the live show and you missed it, go to the download page, download it, get a pencil, get a piece of paper, and write it all down, because I don't think I could have pronounced half of what you just said.
Yeah, and any time I do this so quickly, my apologies, but sometimes they're just streaming right out of my head. Ow, my head, ow. No, I feel fine. But it was like, really, oh my gosh, it's coming out so fast, too fast, slow down. Yes. I can't do it, Captain. It's too fast. So this is the kind of thing that I got to deal with, the stuff that just comes flooding through when it's needed by you out there in the Robert Scott Bell Show audience. And all I would ask is that you continue to pay it forward. How do you do that? Well, of course, you tell others about the show, but also you say thanks to those key sponsors that support this message of health, freedom, and liberty like nowhere else in media. We could not do it. We could not do it without them, and I cannot do it without you. And the growth has been fantastic. I'm greatly appreciative of you supporting this freedom message as well. So with that, we're going to take a break here again. Dr. Rashid Batar's brother, he's brilliant. He's coming on. We're going to talk about the next 4 years of Obama. Don't tune out, man. This is important stuff. And we're going to see if we can bring and break through the Hegelian dialectic that Super Don, your wife, loves when I say so much.
Yes, fantastic term.
What is that music?
That music. Well, you know what? I was thinking about going out with Mac Davis, but it was too hokey.
Oh.
So anybody who grew up during the 80s, they've heard this song before.
All right. Thank you, Super Don. And thank you, Sheila, for that great question about your dad. We'll be right back.
Live around the world,
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, wanting to speak to you from my heart. For those of you that listen to my show, you know I'm candid with my words. I have never been so encouraged to endorse a product as I am now. The Natural Action Water Device from Structured Water Technologies. This little device structures your water and neutralizes chemicals so your water is pure natural. No filters, no gimmicks, and no electricity. Just simple biophoton energy. There's a lifetime warranty and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Thinking about water should be serious. Thinking about drinking water is deadly serious. There's too much information to put in this 60-second commercial, so log on to structuredwatertechnologies.com. That's structuredwatertechnologies.com. You can also click on the link at my website, RonnieMcMullenShow.com. Do the research and find out why this little water unit is changing the world. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. ChooseToBeHealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. That would be Dr. Ahira's Probiotics 12. Dr. Ahira, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation skills with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. Ahira's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man, based on scientific laboratory research, 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works, and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
My name is Stephen Hewer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He has become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he has made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Willing to go where the truth takes him. Here's Robert.
Yesterday, I opened the show talking about the issue of secession, how I think people from 50 states now have filed a petition with the White House. Now, I said this was just mere symbolism. It's not real, although I also don't want people to ask permission where I don't think permission is required. There is a quest for freedom, a quest for liberty. It's a spiritual quest. And yes, politics plays a role in it. But many people then said, well, it's all about racism. I'm like, well, yeah, we know there are people that believe in the genetic superiority of one skin color over another. That's ridiculous in terms of the reality of it, but it exists. But I think there's more than that. It's a spiritual issue. It goes beyond politics. And we talk about the Hegelian dialectic, the political left-right divide. So much is used against us. And I just like, can we get beyond it? Is it possible? No, we don't have to sing Kumbaya and hold hands. We can be intellectual. We can be, engaging. We can ask questions all the way along. But there are people that are doing this, and they're going beyond it. And one of those people, can we handle two Batars in a week? We got Rashid here, Dr. Batar, on Mondays. Now, hey, we got his brother, Shahid Batar, is with us. He's an attorney, a civil rights attorney, and beyond, a brilliant guy. We got to meet at the first Advanced Medicine Seminar in Philadelphia, and he's with us now. Right before I go to Houston and see your brother, I wish I could see you too. But you're on the show now, my friend. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me on, Robert.
Now, you know the reason I invited you on. Your brother sent me this link. You wrote a piece in the Huffington Post, and your question, the title is, Will Obama's Second Term Finally Fulfill His 2008 Promises? And this is a part one. Now, I want you to set the stage. What did you mean by the question? What were his promises, and were they forgotten? Did people even know that he made them?
Yeah, so the promises, I think, were a big deal. This was back in the 2008 presidential campaign, and one of the themes of the Obama campaign at the time was the need to restore liberty and security. Right? Under the Bush years, security and terrorism were sort of a fetish that paralyzed Washington, and this led to intelligence agencies gaining powers that were profoundly inconsistent with our nation's values. And the mandate to restore liberty was absolutely one of the driving forces that propelled President Obama to the White House, and then he basically forgot. And I could tell a story, we could get into it a little bit if you're interested about why and when that happened. But to put it, you know, long story short, the President Obama has only escalated President Bush's and Vice President Cheney's assault on the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And the question is whether in the second term might we see a different face for the administration.
Yeah, I saw the other day there was a clip from Bill Maher, who does this show, and he claims to be libertarian. He's obviously leans left incredibly and still believes in the state as an overriding force for whatever. But on this, he actually agrees with you about Obama being, you know, somewhat like Bush, or maybe even more. I don't know how far he goes, but he had two other people on the panel and one other woman, a woman who was basically saying, hey, look, Obama has done what Bush has done and more. And these two people were outraged. One of them was James Carville, I know. And I was thinking, these guys are still living the political divide, and they're not stepping back and looking outside of a Republican lens or a Democrat lens to say, look at what has happened. What was the promise? Where did he abandon it? And what's the story that sets the stage so everybody can follow along?
So the promise was to, again, restore constitutional rights. And I think the president's words, I might misquote, but to paraphrase it was, there is a false choice between liberty and security. Those values are not inconsistent. The path to security lies in our liberty and vice versa. We can't be secure if we are not free. And another way of thinking of that is that the threats to our security now include not only international threats, but our own government agencies, which have, around the country denied peaceful citizens the right to assemble, the right to speak, to petition their government for redress of grievances, the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, rights to due process, equal protection. The Bill of Rights essentially hangs in tatters. And so that's sort of the context of the promise. And the story here basically goes back to the spring of 2009, and right after the president came into the White House, in his first day in office, actually, he did attempt to wield his mandate very assertively. He had released memos that had been written by the Justice Department under the Bush administration authorizing the use of torture, and he had also directed federal agencies to comply with public information requests with greater speed. What threw the train off the rails was his declaration of the intention to close Guantanamo Bay. And what happened next is really where that mandate and that promise got lost. The Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, united to pass a law restricting the ability to clear detainees for release, even people who'd never done anything wrong. Basically, Congress said you can't send them away. Once they get there, the only way out is in a body bag. And that's kind of what the rule is now. And ever since then, having been sold out by people in his own party, the president has, I think, just run for the right-wing hills. And on anything about civil liberties, I think the message that the White House internalized was, well, we can't sell civil liberties to the American public, even though that is exactly what got him in the White House in the first place. So it's unfortunate. You know, I do think that a big part of our country's problem is this fetish with the Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative divide. And I just look at this stuff as an American. As an American, and, you know, coming, my family came here to be free from a country that doesn't know what freedom is, Pakistan.
Yes.
And, you know, I think of this stuff as a citizen of the world and part of a tradition that has spanned the globe and generations and millennia of people trying to attain freedom mm-hmm. and to support each other and attaining that, and to see our nation's beautiful contributions to the global legacy in that dimension erode under our feet is really disappointing.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Shahid Batar, and he is the brother of Dr. Rashid Batar, and we know Advanced Medicine Mondays here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And Shahid is brilliant in his own right. He's got a great piece on the Huffington Post about what will Obama do the next 4 years? What were his promises, and where do we go from here? Because when you say that you don't have to sacrifice security, well, let me just say this, liberty to be secure. That's the way to say it. I mean, we are in agreement here. And yes, there are people that are reactionaries that just suddenly love liberty only when Obama, who's a Democrat by some label, comes into office. So we don't discount that. But there are a lot of people that were critiquing from the right the Bush years of the abandonment of liberty. And so we want to acknowledge that as well. But here we are, we find ourselves in this situation where a large part of the population disgruntled. Some would say it's a superficial disgruntlement. I would say it goes very deep, and it precedes either Bush and Obama. We go back to the warning of Eisenhower of the military-industrial complex, and I think he at that point said military, media, and government-industrial complex. It was more than that. Colluding against liberty and colluding to strengthen a centralized bureaucracy that has never brought more liberty wherever it's been tried, especially those that have come from foreign countries to America. They know it.
That's right. And I think it's ironic sometimes in the context of like the immigration debate, where you see people who, you know, maybe were born in the United States claiming it. But I think there's often people can very easily take for granted things that they have always had. And I think in the United States, there is a very visible taking for granted of some of our fundamental freedoms. And Eisenhower was incredibly, I hesitate to use the word, but prophetic
yes.
in his speech in 1961. And he talked about a great many things in that forecast. And don't forget, you know, Eisenhower was not merely the president. He was the supreme Allied commander of the Allied forces in World War II in the European theater. So he is at the apex of power, wielding, you know, more power, quite frankly, than probably anyone since, as he's leaving the White House, having created the interstate highway system, having been lionized across the political spectrum, he predicts, having seen the genesis of this complex that would unite corporations and the military. And yet, the best example of this I could cite is the Joint Strike Fighter. Right, there is a $2 trillion weapon system that doesn't even work. And do you have any idea how many social crises we can solve with $2 trillion that have just been thrown into a black hole to put money in the pockets of weapons manufacturers?
Sure.
And it's, that's not what our country is supposed to be about, right? That's not liberty and justice for all. That's not tired, huddled masses yearning to be free. That's not all men are created equal. That is corporate welfare of the worst conceivable kind.
Yes, yes. And Shahid, this is the one thing where I see the failing of, it's a given on the right, but the failing of the left to recognize that corporatism is really, even if it's paid lip service, those that were in the Occupy Wall Street, they didn't recognize the role of the monetary system, the Federal Reserve, in playing and rigging the system against everybody. Yet they fell again into the trap of, well, Democrat, liberal, good, Republican, conservative, bad. And then they were manipulated out of, unfortunately, an ability to really make a change.
I think there was a lot of that. I think a lot of people in the Occupy movement shared that critique, the one you were describing about in recognizing the sort of Federal Reserve racket. I think there was a really interesting transpartisan populist message that the Occupy movement embodied. And if we look at the story of its emergence and fading, the two things that strike me most, one is in its emergence, how many different parts of America it brought together, not just New York and Oakland, but cities all across the country. Now, I was at Occupy St. Louis the week that it started, and came back for a regional convening there the following spring, this past spring. And it was amazing. I saw active duty military lieutenant colonels who had come to like be part of the movement. I saw labor union folks, I saw students, I saw teachers, and it really was from all different parts of the political spectrum. And this idea of a populist anti-establishment, anti-corporate, pro-people movement that transcends the Democrat, Republican, Green, Libertarian, Conservative, Liberal divide. You know, people coming together to understand what it means to be American and at least to share a common concern about the co-optation of our tax dollars to feed, for instance, the military-industrial complex at the same time that people don't have houses and the schools are closing and so climate change. There's so many issues that we need to be concerned about, and our social policies are being dictated by corporations. And when those policies relate to institutionalized and systematic killing and generating the weapons to do it more and more efficiently with greater and greater impact and with less and less regard for the consequences, we should all be very, very concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Shahid Bitar, and I'm just enjoying the conversation immensely. It's going faster than I'm blinking here. I'm going, wow, how did we do this already? We've got more to do, though. So stand by. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back. Talk about what is the promise? Is there any left in a second Obama administration? Is there something that we can do out here? Again, coming beyond the left-right paradigm. Again, this is where we're going. Is it liberty versus tyranny? I think that's where we need to be looking at it. And Shahid definitely understands this and beyond, so we're going to talk more about it on the other side of the break. The links are up in the show notes, including to this article. You definitely want to read it. We'll be right back.
The Robert Stubberdell Show.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancer using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
In addition to the article that was posted on the HuffPo, I want you to go directly to Shahid's blog there at constitutioncampaign.org. Constitutioncampaign.org. I have it linked so it's easy to get to through the show notes today at robertscottbell.com. Also, there is a part two we may be able to discuss. I feel like we've only scratched the surface on part one, but it's an important place to start here when we talk about fulfilling his promises. If he had intended, I mean, we could speculate on all kinds of things, but I like to get down into the brass tacks or practical aspect of this. For me, I'm very concerned of the power of the state, because no matter who has been in charge, whether it be a D or an R, we've seen the growth primarily of that bureaucracy, the bureaucratic oligarchy, and of course, as you said, the corporate military alliance, which is just siphoning off whatever wealth is left and prosperity is left, and sending it off to what? What did Ron Paul say all this foreign aid was? It was taking money from poor people in one country and giving it to rich people in another. What about our own?
Right. No, absolutely. I think there's so many forgotten priorities at home. I remember when the war in Iraq first started back in 2003, there were a lot of us organizing resistance to it. One of our principal talking points at the time was this war imposes immediate costs at home because there are any number of issues that we're not dealing with because we are instead squandering our social resources abroad. And I always go back to Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. You know, like, where was the National Guard at the time? It was in Iraq instead of Louisiana,
yes.
Right? And, mm-hmm. and there's a cost to these things, and especially in an era where, you know, we're talking about budgetary austerity, we're talking about, you know, a time when we all need to, you know, tighten our belts one notch, and, you know, the military is, we're spending more on the military than the next 50 countries put together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what purpose does that conceivably serve? There are two laws actually pending before the Senate this winter that might be useful to talk about in that context of state power. And one of them intersects with, in fact, they both, now that I think about it, intersect with the military. They are the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA,
yes, yes.
And FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And one's detention, one is surveillance. They both empower the Defense Department to do things to Americans who have done nothing wrong. And I could, you know, if it's interesting, I could talk a little bit about what they each do and might do to raise their voices.
Absolutely. It's been a very important topic here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, as we've interviewed Tangerine Boland a number of times, particularly on the NDAA issue. The abandonment of Obama, you know, the so-called civil libertarian, as you said in early phase, how he abandoned that. And the question is, now that he's in his second term, do we have any signs of life from him? Because even though the transpartisan group that sued the government and a lot of people in it about the NDAA, when they actually won and got one of Obama's own federal court judges to rule in favor of saying, hey, you can't do this. This is a violation of this indefinite detention provision, much less the ability to target for assassination Americans, which is another story. And Obama, when he signed it, in his signing statement, supposedly indicated he didn't like it. He didn't like that form. He would never use it. So why defend it? Why defend it? Was it just to win second term? And if so, has he removed the appeal? Has he now said, okay, I'm going to stop this? Is there any indication that Obama will go back to the original statements that he made in 08 going into the presidency?
It doesn't seem like it yet. And I would just take it back. I think it really depends on we the people, because the institutional establishment left to its own devices will not. There's too much pressure. This is what Eisenhower warned about, to extend that complex of the corporate, military, and now domestic intelligence complex.
Mm-hmm.
But where I think they're, and the Hedges case is a great example, you'll appreciate this as we speak. I'm in Seattle meeting with some folks at the Korematsu Institute for Justice at Seattle University Law School, and they're going to be writing a brief in the Hedges case as it goes up to appeal on the Second Circuit, talking about the experience of the Japanese American community the last time that domestic military detention was authorized. And we know, of course, that was a travesty of human rights committed by our own government. In the context of military detention, painting an entire race of people as treasonous, essentially, without any basis.
Excuse me, Mr. Ben Franklin, what kind of government hath we wrought here? And he says a republic. If you can keep it. If you can keep it. And literally the moment the Constitution was ratified, that very moment was the moment that you had to be vigilant in defense of the Republican, and I don't mean party, I mean Republic's principles, to protect the innocent, to protect the minority, because it was a nation of laws, not of men. And that was abandoned almost as quickly as it came into being. And I won't say totally abandoned, but, you know, the attacks on it. Lincoln did the same, suspending habeas corpus in the war between the states. And yet, you see World War II, the Japanese internment. So it's not like we have the perfect golden history here in America. We've got to acknowledge and look, warts and all. The ideals are high and true, and I have great value and appreciation for them. But the abandonment at any age is something that I cannot stomach. I can't stand with it, no matter if someone's doing it from the right or the left.
Absolutely, and I think it really sharpens for me the vision of what is our individual and collective responsibility as citizens in this time. It is to guard those principles and to ourselves be vigilant. And among the things that that looks like is paying attention to these issues and seeing through the corporate spin and taking action where we each live to build the movement to restore civil liberties. I mean, we are... we stand on the shoulders of the people who've come before us and the legacy that the founders of our country and, you know, freedom fighters around the world have always sought is fading under our feet. And maybe it makes sense to talk about FISA and the NDAA just briefly and offer an action opportunity here. And as we think about these issues, just to close that thought, it behooves us to recognize how hard the principles how much it took to establish the principles of justice and liberty and privacy. They were not easily won.
Right.
Right? I mean, these took generations. They took blood and sweat and a lot of tears, and we are letting those values fade in just astounding passivity, not realizing the momentousness of what is happening under our feet. And so just to make that very specific, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is pending before the Senate right now. This is the law passed in 2008. To let the NSA, that's the National Security Agency, or sometimes folks in D.C., we call it the No Such Agency because it's completely secret.
Yes.
It's a huge part of the Defense Department, and it is essentially monitoring everyone's phone calls and emails. There's a $2 billion data center being built in Utah with the most computing capacity of any machine ever constructed in human history, and its sole purpose is to monitor your communications. And it's astounding what's happening, and it's completely in secret. It's been challenged in court. Every federal court, it's not unlike the Hedges case, every court that's ever reached the merits has said this is completely unconstitutional. This is precisely what the Constitution was written to prevent, and yet the program persists because appeals courts have said you can't prove standing. It's the same argument that in the Hedges case has brought the case up on appeal, claiming that the plaintiffs don't have the right to sue because they can't establish that they themselves have suffered an impact. And the fact is, we are all suffering an impact. When the government is watching everyone but denying it, and you can't prove that you're being watched, how then?
Sure.
It's almost like the courts are writing themselves into irrelevance, and it really falls on us, we the people.
Well, as we've seen, the three branches of government, the separation of powers no longer exists. They've melded into one, the executive branch. Now we have a king, an emperor, and again, it was true when it was Bush. It's true now when it's Obama. And it seems to me the idea of the founders was a decentralized, weak central power. In other words, it wasn't something that was to dominate and involve itself in the life of everybody all of the time. That we had potentially, which would eventually be 50 experiments in liberty. And what was guaranteed to each state was a Republican form of government. Again, that's not the party. You understand what I'm saying? We're going back historically what the words actually meant. And now we're looking at, can we come together and say, hey, we need to defang the government, not by making more regulations and more laws, but removing the power from there, thereby disconnecting the corporate interest in owning it when it can't do much damage. There's no investment in it, and making it a bigger challenge for that kind of tyranny to be rained upon, if you will, the American people.
That's right. And the idea of separating power so that there would be independent checks and balances is exactly what we see eroded before us then. And it's terrifying that the same way that progressives and libertarians and conservatives and liberals can all come together around these principles of freedom that the establishment is disregarding, Democrats and Republicans alike in Washington are marching in lockstep to advance that same military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us to fear. Mm-hmm. And FISA is a perfect example of this. You know, the Congress has done essentially no oversight of this program at all. The Intelligence Commission committees in the House and the Senate, they emerged because 30 years ago, they invested the counterintelligence programs when the FBI and CIA were basically running counterintelligence operations within the U.S., you know, spying on U.S. peaceful citizens just exercising their rights of different kinds. And now they've become co-opted. And FISA, the House has already voted to reauthorize the law that gives the NSA the ability to monitor your email account or your phone messages and phone calls, regardless of whether or not you've done anything wrong, or even if anyone thinks you might have, just the authority to do it to everyone. Congress, the House, has voted to extend that for 5 years, even though they know nothing about the program. The outer contours of it have only been alluded to, and there have been several whistleblowers, including some of the people who built the program, who've gone public and said there is a problem here. Senator Wyden has asked the NSA, which has confirmed that it has violated even the permissive law passed in 2008, how many Americans were impacted. All they've heard since is crickets. And the Senate could vote any day now to extend that law another 3 years. And there's no greater assault on the rights of the American people because it has no limit, right? I mean, we're talking about capturing a real-time and historically searchable archive of everyone's communications. Think about that. I mean, it's mind-boggling to contemplate.
Oh, it is staggering. And that's the question, because if we're looking to the popular media, what we call the mainstream media, which, by the way, is rapidly losing the same power it had over the population. Case in point, the growth of natural news, the growth of this show and many other alternative forms of media. The First Amendment is not totally dead yet, even though they like to kill it. The fact of the matter is, if you're getting your news from the old news sources, you're not getting the news. You're being propagandized to believe something, and you're not hearing anything about NDAA or FISA. You know, there are the few, like the Dennis Kuciniches and the Ron Pauls of the world, and there are a few more that are now coming into Congress because of the growing awareness that are bringing this up. But if you're looking for the mainstream establishment, government, corporate, media complex to stamp approval and go, yeah, you go get them, they're not going to do it. Don't wait for that. And I think that's what the disenfranchisement, the disillusionment, and somewhat of the secessionist kind of sentiment is not all rooted in race, because Obama might happen to be half black, whatever that means. It's partly or a lot due to this is getting disgusting. This is getting beyond belief. This is not about any one man anymore.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's about, in fact, you framed it, I think, correctly before, the devolution of the rule of law into the rule of people, right? I mean, we're losing, whether it's a democracy or a republic, we're losing the common elements of both, which are to say the consent of the governed, the central principle that the American Revolution established. We are losing because, you know, in the context of militarized police, pervasive surveillance, preventive, indefinite, and arbitrary detention, we have no freedom. And the Occupy movement's experience, I think, is really illustrative here, because that movement was infiltrated. It was violently suppressed all over the country, right? When the police are using military instruments to disable peaceful people raising their voices, we have a problem. And I look to Egypt for inspiration here. Around the world, even very recently, people have claimed their freedom, regardless of what the institutions tell them. And, you know, our institutions, like our media, like our government, tell us a lot of things. And the question is, are we smart enough? Are we networked enough? And do we love each other enough, despite our differences as Americans, to join hands and claim that liberty that we all share?
Well, that's a question that needs to be asked, and we're doing our level best to answer it here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Shahid Buttar. And we've got links to his blog, including at the HuffPo, and also directly at his site, at his blog, at constitutioncampaign.org. I want you to check it out there. And Shahid, you got a few more minutes? We can wrap this thing up, because there's a lot more to say. I know we've got a limited time, but you got a moment more?
Absolutely, yeah. And there may be just three things I'd love to throw out in terms of action opportunities for you.
All right, yes. Stand by. We're going to get into some of those action opportunities and more. Special political healing edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stand by. Coming right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey, this is Robert Scott Bell, wondering if you've gotten your structured water technology portable unit yet. There's beauty in simplicity, and this machine is so simple. It's so passive. You don't have to plug it in, and you can travel with it. Just pour your water or any liquid in it. Immediately, it changes the structure. Why is this important? Because so much of the structure, due to toxic pollutants, discordant energies, disrupts our ability to think clearly, to act clearly. And you know what we're all about here, bringing the power to heal back to you. And this little unit does that. And it's not just for drinking water. You can utilize it for watering your plants. You can utilize it when you take a bath or a shower. You can put it on the whole house if you want to get that unit. And right now, Ronnie McMullen, our good friend, is offering a free month supply of Life Change Tea with every purchase. 90-day money-back guarantee, lifetime warranty. You can't go wrong. Tell them RSB sent you. Go to structuredwatertechnologies.com, 435-773-7473. Be like RSB. Structure your water today.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The Meathead Supplement Store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Whey on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Sometimes you hear people say, we got to take our power back. And I'm like, no, it's all, you already have it. There's nothing to take. You don't have to steal anything. And maybe, if anything, it's been stolen from you, but not really. You've kind of given it away. You stopped behaving as if you were the sovereign. That was the basis of the Organic American Republic and we the people that created the states and then thus created the federal government. We're far from that now. There's a lot of people struggling to get back to what does it mean? How do we do it? What do we do? One of the guys that's doing great work out there, we're wrapping it up with him today, Shahid Bitar, the brother of Dr. Rashid Bitar, who you know so well. And Shahid, I so much appreciate you coming on board today to stimulate a lot of thought here. I hope everybody reads the articles. We have them linked up in the show notes. One of the positive things I've seen for a number of years now, this was born out of the frustrations with the Bush years, is the 10th Amendment Center and the willing to say, hey, the power of the people in the states is real. Don't wait around. And they're doing state nullification on cannabis, marijuana, on issues like pharmaceutical Obamacare, issues like real ID. We've seen evidence that it works, and that's not a racist component to say we want our power back.
Absolutely, that's right. And the group I run, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, we work very closely with the 10th Amendment Center and groups across the partisan spectrum, you know, from folks who are flexing local power in those kinds of ways to, on the other end of the fence, the NAACP and the Council of American Islamic Relations and the ACLU. And these different groups come together in this shared liberty interest. And so one thing that people can do, and I hear you were talking about the controversy around the secession movement.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of ways short of that local coalitions can restore their rights. And just to give a quick case study from the Bay Area, outside San Francisco, Berkeley, California, just a few weeks ago, became the first jurisdiction in the country to restrict intelligence gathering by its local police, specifically to restore First Amendment protections and privacy, as well as protections for dissent. And this was just a few weeks before the U.S. Senate criticized the 70-plus fusion centers around the country that are coordinating the collection of this intelligence by local police. So it's not just the NSA that's spying on you.
Yes.
It's also the Mayberry Police Department. And that those are those kinds of abuses are particularly ones that city councils can fix. And there's a huge opportunity in municipal reforms to use the power of federalism, that is to say local law, to raise rights above the federal floor. And that's the kind of work that my colleagues and I at the Bill of Rights Defense Committee are working on around the country, are building grassroots coalitions that can help challenge the abuses of local police, whether that's in the drug war, whether that's in the war on terrorism, or whether that's on the war on immigrants, and looking at the ways in which our constitutional liberties can be protected one city and rebuilt one city at a time.
Mm, absolutely. So what other things, we talk about calls to action. You know, I liken this to an individual movement made up, if we talk about groups, but it's made up of individuals. It's not about somebody else doing it. You got to do it. What can you do? What can my listeners do? What can they plug into? Other things that we should leave them with today?
Absolutely. So I'll throw three out there. First, and this is the easiest, is just sign up for updates from the Bill of Rights Defense Committee just to hear about some of this news that might otherwise slip through your cracks. The second is, and I never think this is enough, but it's something we at least have to do, pick up the phone, call D.C., call your federal representatives and your senators, and ask them to do two things in particular this season. The first is, do not reauthorize the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act until the NSA answers Congress's questions, right? If they're going to monitor all Americans, we should at least know the facts before Congress reauthorizes the program. So don't authorize FISA until the NSA answers your questions. And the last is don't reauthorize the NDAA until the detention provisions are removed. And both of those things could happen any day. There will be no hearings. There will be no process. There will be no headlines until they're done. And so the question is, can we take advantage of the opportunity to raise our voices before the extension of these very dangerous powers becomes a fait accompli? And maybe the last thing I'd just say, which is a little more abstract, go to an unfamiliar place and ask somebody a question, right? The most powerful things you can do are to connect across communities. So if you go to an unfamiliar place and you ask people questions, it's a really easy way to pick up some new allies. And whatever our neighbors might look like and whatever concerns might be particularly at the front of their minds, we all have an interest in these liberty and privacy issues, and the need to restore them transcends community. And here's the thing, no community, none of us can do it alone, right? The tremendous diversity of our country in terms of the different religions that people practice in the different parts of the world that we come from and the different races the different bloods in our veins, that's a strength not just of not just our national strength in the abstract and our beauty as a people, but it is a challenge because those kinds of divisions keep us apart. And the only way for us in a polyglot society to recapture our liberty is to do it together.
Did you just say polyglot? Nobody says polyglot. Hey, no matter what Dr. Batar says, you're a great guy. I don't care what Dr. Batar says. You know, we love you here, Shahid. And nobody has said polyglot in a long time, so I had to point that out. I apologize.
You're very kind, Robert.
No, it's a great time to have you on board, and you carry a great energy with you and a great intelligence and awareness, and I'm so glad that you're in now the family, I can call it, of the Robert Scott Bell Show, because I want people to know about you and your efforts. I want them to look and say maybe you're going to be pulled and inspired to do what Shahid's doing, and it's an exciting time to be alive. It's not a time to kind of go, oh, well, we could just kind of hang around and eating some drinking mint juleps. No, now is the time for action. You want to enjoy some downtime a little later. We'll get there. But I hope that you'll come back and give us some updates as this thing progresses.
I'd be happy to. Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, Robert.
All right, everybody, check out the links in the show notes today at robertscottbell.com to Shahid Batar and all the great works he's doing with the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. Thank you once again. And thank you to all of you for being a part of the United States and World of Health Talk Radio 5, maybe 6 days a week. You catch our GCN show. Remember, the archives are up at robertscottbell.com. They're linking through. In fact, now we're adding, if you missed the show, we're adding the link directly to the download MP3 right in the show notes as soon as they're available. So that's a new feature when you go to robertscottbell.com, making it easier for you to listen after the fact or tell your friends to do so. So just send them to the show notes. That'll be awesome. Also, again, thanks to Shahid Batar. Thank you as well to Super Don for making it sound so good. Thank you as well to, who was on? Liam Schaff, of course, and talking about now that he's not too bruised up from all those Weston Price people. So that was good.
And he's not freezing to death, right?
And he's, stay warm. Stay warm, my friend.
Yes.
All right. So we got Advanced Medicine Monday, of course. We've got Outside the Box Wednesdays. And, of course, tomorrow. What'll it be? It's going to be The Healing Revolution with Dr. Frank King. And we've got a lot of other exciting things. Hopefully we'll have The Great Culling, a new documentary film. We'll be able to talk about that as well. So stand by for that. In the meantime, enjoy your day or keep listening right here to Natural News Radio. I think Kurt Linderman comes up with being unleashed as he is after the show. And thanks as well to those of you listening through UK Health Radio. The power to heal is also yours.
Robert Scott, the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Here we go. We can make it.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here for StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Some quick questions. Do you know what is in the water you are drinking? Do you care? Have you considered the quality of water for your plants and animals? Do you believe water is important to your life? If your water could be changed into healthy water inexpensively, would you consider changing? If so, log on to StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. That's StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Once again, StructuredWaterTechnologies.com. Learn, investigate, and act. Watch the informational short videos on the website. Water is most important. Structured water is beneficial. And learn how structured water can benefit you. Log on to StructuredWaterTechnologies.com.